Hey y'all, I am ready to teach you guys some Urges 2.0. I'm going to just tell you right now, I am so excited about this program. It is focusing on the whole concept of the overeating window. So I was brainstorming this with Yasmin, who helps me write all of our wonderful content. So when you see the workbooks and stuff, just know that Yasmin takes what's in my brain and what I tell her, and she puts it into beautiful formats. She brainstorms with me on how to teach y'all better things. So I just always have to give a big shout out to Yasmin, because she's truly been like my little ride or die when it comes to course creation the last few months. I'm going to go ahead and bring Coach Julie up so that you can answer Q&A questions as they come on in. That would be perfect. So Coach Julie will be on the call with me. You'll see her beautiful little face up at the top. She will be answering Q&A if you want to ask Q&A, and she will also be in the chat answering chat. But Urges 2.0, I just think it's really important that as you are learning how to unwind your self-talk, how to stop talking to yourself like an asshole, how to start talking to yourself like a grown-ass woman, like there's a beautiful blend when we talk about self-talk here of learning how to talk to yourself, balancing being a grown-ass woman who looks at her thoughts. Sometimes she's a little disappointed. Sometimes she knows when she's off track and stuff. She may not feel amazing about it, but she also counsels herself like a best friend would. So I want you to all think about if you've had someone in your life at any time who was like a best friend. So like my best friend, Jane, she is the person that I talk to, and she knows when to call me on my shit and highlight it without making me feel bad about it. Like, she knows how to say, like, hey, like, I heard you talking about this. That's not how I see it. Like, I can see why you feel this way. Like, and I understand, like, the version of you that you want to be is, it's natural to feel this way, but let's look at things this way. That's what I want to teach you guys. There is an art and a skill to learning how to talk to yourself. And when we're talking about urges in particular, your self-talk, like if you want to like, Corinne, what do I do when urges hit? Corinne, how do we overcome our urges? Corinne, how do we bust urges and stuff? I am going to tell you the absolute key is the self-talk. What does it sound like? What do you think about urges? What do you think about yourself? When you make a mistake, what do you think? In the moment of the urge, what are you thinking? It's all going to come down to you unraveling. This is how I think. Let me understand how I'm thinking and stuff. Let me make sure that that talk is done in such a way that's helpful. And then I'm going to teach myself how to make it more and more useful over time. Then it's a lot easier to employ tactics. Then it's a lot easier to say no. Then it's a lot easier to try new things. That's really the key. So I'm going to make a solemn promise to the No BS land right now. I am never going to stop talking to you about how you talk to yourself. And let me tell you why it means so much to me. I forget how broken women are until we have an opening. I get so used to watching your newsfeed in our private Facebook group where women are overcoming things, wearing bikinis for the first time, figuring out their shit. Come that you may have a bad day, but you come in, you post about your day, and then you ask for like genuine feedback and help. Like, I just want all of you to know that what we do in here, most of the world is not doing. And if for one moment you want to see how broken people are, join our challenge Facebook group. Actually, I don't want y'all to join, but I just want you to know we've been letting all the new people who are going to maybe join No BS into a group. And it is sad. I mean, it is sad to see how we talk to ourselves, how other people talk to us, how fucking confused we are, how we make everything that happens when it comes to food and our body and what people do around us mean something's wrong with us. Oh, it is beyond me. And I just want all of you to know that the reason why I teach so much in this membership about how you think is because that has to change. We have to quit trying to lose weight. We have to quit trying to eat better. We have to quit trying to do anything. Like, we have to quit trying to improve ourselves from the concept of, I'm so bad, I'm so broken, something's wrong with me. I don't care if you want more for your life. I think losing weight is great, but I want you to do it because you have finally decided to love yourself enough that you are worthy, that there is nothing wrong with you, that you can learn to figure out how to have a better relationship with food, that you can learn how to have a mistake and not have to throw yourself under the bus. The one gift I want every No BS woman to ever have is the gift of being able to sit in quiet with herself and like it. Like, that in and of itself changes your whole life. When you can be alone, when you can be in the quiet, when you can have the world telling you something's wrong with you, and you rely on you in that moment. So I didn't mean to start off so emotional today, but it's so sometimes overwhelming. You know, like, I get so used to seeing you guys making so many changes and feeling so good that I forget how broken most of us started this journey on. I forget what it was like in the beginning. And I don't want women to feel that way anymore. Okay. Let me get a tissue. I really have to clear myself up because I've got to teach y'all. And then, of course, my tissues are... Oh, well, this is sweet. We don't have any. Chris asked me, what do you need? I was like, nothing. I got everything I need today. Obviously not. If somebody from my team is here and you actually have Chris's text number, or somebody can post in Slack, I know Kathy and Sarah do. For somebody, please tell someone from my family to get me some tissue. That would be amazing. And I can't tell if I'm foggy or I can't really tell. My glasses are a mess too. All right. So we're going to do Urges 2.0. If you will go to my resources, if you have not been to my resources inside the No BS membership, that is where your replays will be for this course. That is where everything will be. There's a workbook that goes along with it, all the things. We are going to do amazing work this month. If you are newer to No BS and you're wondering, like, what's this about? I want you focused on your No BS work, but there is no reason why you cannot listen to these calls if you want to. Don't get overwhelmed or behind listening to them, but there is nothing that I'm going to teach in Urges 2.0 that won't benefit you in the long run. So I want you to, if you're new, you just listen and think about what you could apply. If you are new and you're like, oh my God, what are we doing? Like, I thought I was supposed to be doing No BS. This is too much. Stop the video now. Go back to No BS and push play on the next video in your sequence. Okay. This week, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be talking about what to do before the urge. Thank you, baby. And at some point today, we need to fix this camera. It's just staying blurry today. It's not even getting me in focus at all. Yeah. So I've moved. I've done all my tricks and I can't even get it to, and I've even cleaned it. So what to do before the urge hits? In fact, let me just pause the video. We're going to need to fix the record. All right. This week, what we're focusing on is urges and what to do before the urge hits. And this is important because I want to make sure that you like understand that there are processes and phases to fixing urges. It's not just tell me what to do to make them go away, Cran. That's not what we want to do. We don't make urges go away. Everybody write down, we're not making urges go away. I am 15 years in. I still get urges. I am good at managing them and busting through them. That's the goal. It is unrealistic to think that your brain is never going to want to eat when something looks good, when everyone else is having it, when it's been a long day. Like to think that your brain is never going to want to rely on food to feel better immediately after you've been doing it all your life, that's a no. Your brain is designed to do two things only. Avoid pain at all costs. Seek pleasure as often as possible. Like that is the way our brain is wired. That is the natural habit, organic part of your brain, the one that just automatically is working. And it's designed that way on purpose. It's not because you're broken that you want pleasure. It's not because you're broken or can't handle shit because you try to avoid any kind of pain. That's just the way your brain's designed. And then this is the key part that I want all of you to understand. Your brain overemphasizes avoiding pain. It associates pain with death, destruction. So what your brain often does, and this is why we have so many urges, is it goes through the day and it experiences a lot of faux pain. Your brain still is primitive in thinking that it's supposed to sense danger all the time. It doesn't know that you don't live in a cave anymore. It doesn't know that you're not in the 1800s trying to avoid plagues and like starvation and famine and seasonal bullshit. It does not know that. It just knows it needs to avoid pain. So if it's not finding actual danger, your brain is really good at creating faux danger. That is why so many of you, when it comes to your overeating windows, don't have a lot of energy left in order to bust through your urge because all day long you've created faux danger. Faux danger is something like you plan your lunch, and let's say you say you're going to have a salad, and your boss brings in, let's say, macaroni grill, all the pasta, and you didn't plan that. And your brain goes to, oh my God, I'm in danger. If I don't eat the free food, I'm wasting money. Oh my God, if I don't have the pasta with my coworkers, they're going to think I'm on a diet and better than them. That's called faux danger. So your brain throws up this stuff. But your job is to make sure that you are, if you want to be able to handle urges, especially during overeating windows, is that you get better at understanding where all the faux danger is. In managing your mind. That is called the modern day brain. Our modern brain has to be elevated, cultured, listened to, utilized. Back in the day, like even 100 years ago, we didn't want to be using the modern side of the brain that much. There still was a lot of danger. Like even in the early 1900s, my grandmother, when she grew up on that working farm I tell y'all about all the time with 100 hands and stuff, she used to, at the age of 6, walk to school in a forest on a path by herself. Her daddy worked at a sawmill in the off season that was 2 miles away, and at 7 would walk there by herself through the woods. Her primitive brain, yeah, for fuck sure, really needed to be engaged. So we have not evolved that much. We just think that like, oh my God, I shouldn't think these things. It's like, bitches, we still have a pinky toe. A pinky toe. We don't even need a pinky toe. You know why it's so small? We don't climb trees all the time anymore. Probably in about another 5,000 years, guess what humans won't have?
They'll be reading books and laughing at all of us humans who still walked around with a fucking pinky toe. It takes a long time for evolution to get rid of something we don't need anymore. So do not think that just because you have automatic thoughts of created faux danger, like, I must be crazy, something's wrong with me, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, your brain is doing what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to create problems where they don't exist. It's bored as fuck. It's like, where's all the danger? Where's all the pain? So this is important with urges. Because if you don't understand that part, you're spending a lot of time beating yourself up for natural thoughts, automatic thoughts. And then you get mad that you have them. And then you wish they'd go away. Then you think you're broken because you have them and all this other kind of bullshit. So then you're not only having automatic thoughts, but then you're spending time in piss and vinegar about your thinking. When you could be spending time redirecting automatic thoughts. So we got to skip the piss and vinegar stage. That's what is needed when we're talking about handling urges. So here's what I want all of you to think about this month on how you're going to approach handling the urges. If you are a bottom line bitch, you need, and a bottom line bitch, everybody say it, is real simple. I got very little time to spend on my no BS. So I need to be able to make a 24-hour plan every day. And I'm just going to catch what I can catch. But my priority is no BS. My priority is making my 24-hour plan every single day and assessing it. So if you're a bottom line bitch, you want to do the new video in module 3. So if you go to module 3 of no BS, unit 7, there is a brand new busting urges video. I reshot it to go with this content. You also want to make sure that you are using the planning urges worksheet this month. Planning urges worksheet. If you have an overeating window, you must do this worksheet this month because now we're going to plan our urges in its entirety so we can start getting better and better and better at being able to bust through them. If you're a moderation mama, which is someone who, you know, has things to do, but wants to do a little bit more of no BS, you're kind of in the middle. You want to make sure that you do module 3, unit 7. You're going to use the planning urges worksheet, and you are going to add on to that the practice call that we are going to have with Coach Heather on Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. Every week during the month of August, one of the coaches will be doing a practice call on what I teach during this call. If you're watching the replay, all of it will be on replays. And then when this course is finished, everything will be put into the course. So you will want to watch the practice call and you will want to practice the tools that we teach you. Now, if you're a deep dive diva, you're going to do everything I just said, plus you're going to re-go through all of module 3 of No BS, and you're going to do the worksheets inside of module 3. All right. So busting urges. Use the hashtag busting urges this month if it's August 2021. And we have a busting urges board for you to be able to track your completed worksheets, like discovery worksheets and different things. All of it is inside the website under the self-paced course, weight loss resources, self-study resources, I'm sorry. If you go there and you go to the self-paced workshops, Busting Urges 2.0 is sitting right there for you. I want you to use the hashtag Busting Urges inside of the Facebook group. And I want to see pictures of your Urges 2.0 binders. I want to see completed worksheets. Anything that shows you're doing the work, posts and stuff. And if you use that hashtag, we're going to select a winner at the end of the month. Somebody who does the work this month and uses hashtag busting urges is going to win a deep dive coaching call with one of our coaches to go through everything that you learned about your urges this month. So you'll get a really good call, really good one-on-one coaching call with them. All right. So busting an urge is a five-step process. Number one is plan your self-talk and visualize your urges. Number two is redirect your hard talk. Number three is use the now process. Number four is reward yourself calmly. And number five is do another activity. And I will make sure that all of this stuff gets inside the busting or the urges 2.0 information. Now, we're used to treating urges like they're unpredictable. This is the problem with urges. We say things like, they just happen. I didn't know what I was doing. Like we say things like that, and we get used to the idea of telling ourselves over and over again, I don't know what happened. They just come over me. Those thoughts lead us to feel like they're unpredictable. The problem is that urges are usually very predictable. The reason why we say it just happened is because we haven't learned how to tell ourselves, I'm going to figure out when this happens the most. I haven't figured out yet what my brain says, but I'm going to start listening. If you want to know more about your urges, you have to talk about your urges like you want to know more about them. If you want them to just keep happening automatically and on autopilot, then keep talking about them as if you are a helpless victim with no control. That's the option. So it's really important, really, really important that you talk about them in a way that leads you to investigating, listening, and being aware. Everybody grab a screenshot real quick. Here's the things. I've got it held up for you. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There you go. That's the five steps, just in case anybody missed it. If you will go and download the workbook that goes with this, guess where the five steps live? Inside the workbook. All right. So this is what we know about the brain. It's really good on making sure that it does the same shit over and over again. So it's always looking for patterns, cues, triggers. It's always looking for commonalities. So it's like, oh, she eats when this sentence pops in her brain. She eats when it's a certain time of day. She eats when she's around these kinds of foods. She eats when she has these feelings. So let me make sure that I send her cues and triggers to eat when these things happen. These are the patterns that you need to investigate and find. Hey, everybody, if those five steps aren't in the workbook, we'll get them in there. Y'all just pay attention and don't worry so much about, like, I missed out on these. I'm going to cover them every single week. So just take notes. Whatever you don't get, I promise these keynotes, these handouts, they're going on the website when we complete this. You will have them, okay? All right. So before planning urges, because all we're doing today is we are covering planning urges, visualizing them, what we're going to do, and how to redirect our self-talk. The other steps we're doing later on this month. So today our main focus is just, all right, I'm going to plan for my urge. I'm going to visualize what's going to happen. And I'm going to learn how to redirect my hard talk. That's the keys for this week. So before you plan an urge, the first thing you got to do is you must know your overeating windows. All this means is you want to make sure that when you are learning your overeating windows, is that you think about it. You go to your 24-hour plans that you've been doing, and you look through your assessments, and you figure out, huh, I wonder, what do I normally tell myself? I wonder when I normally overeat. The vast majority of us, and if you use that planning, I have it here somewhere. If you use the planning for urges worksheet, it should be on the urges 2.0 page. If it's not, we'll get it there. What you want to do is you want to think about, what are my most common times that I overeat? Where is my biggest pattern right now? So for me, if I'm going to overeat, I know my problem. Dinner. It's always dinner. Dinner is the one. And that is the one that I usually spend my time, my energy, and focus in my planner working on. Every day when I write about, like, you know, what am I likely to tell myself today to, like, you know, overeat or eat past enough, like what's going to come up for me, that kind of stuff. Every day I write about dinner time. What am I thinking that's going to happen tonight? What are those common thoughts that I have? And what do I need to start telling myself about it? So when you are looking for it, just start thinking about your overeating windows and find times of day, places, or situations. These are windows of opportunity that your brain is going to offer up habit thoughts. Identify your common triggers and cues. Is there certain things people say? Is there, like, sometimes you might be cued to overeat when you've skipped a meal. Like, what are your common things? Somebody just said, my common window is when my friends come over. When I'm with my friends, it's harder for me. One of my cues is when I go and drink with Chris at the local bar on date night. That's one of my overeating windows. I tend to, like, notice that one out of every probably five dates, I'm like, fuck it. Let's just get some fries. Let's swing by Sonic. Let's do something that I don't plan for. So that's why I have to stay on top of myself a little bit. I'm like, all right, I always want to be visualizing, thinking ahead of time, setting myself up for success. What I don't want to do is start saying, you know how hard it is for me to go out on date night. I mean, I want to go, but it's really hard for me. That's my most difficult time. If all I do is talk about it like that, guess what ends up happening? I'm not planning for it. I'm visualizing myself driving up to Sonic to get some ice cream. Like, I'm already visualizing me turning into a shit show. And that is the thing about visualization. We all do it all the time. You just don't do it with purpose. We do it by allowing ourselves to talk about stuff in a very disempowering way that feels hard. And when we keep talking about it in a way that, like, I'm just telling you the story of how difficult it is for me and how I always fail, and this is what always happens, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to change that. When you tell that story, your brain has gotten no direction on what to do with it. It knows it doesn't like it, but it's like, all right, but what am I supposed to do about that? Your conscious brain has to tell a new story if you want a new ending. And then you can also use your discovery worksheets and your assessments. And when you use your discovery worksheets and assessments, you can find a lot of patterns. Now, I want to warn you, it's real easy to want to work on every single pattern and every single trigger and every single window that you've ever found. You do not need to do that. As I always tell you guys, I always hold up my Jenga tower. I'm not going to do it because right now I've got a lot of liquids over here. I'll knock everything over. As you unwind one overeating window at a time, you learn the skill to work on the next one easier, faster, and better. So you may never have to unwind every urge and figure out new strategies to be able to, like, sit with them, experience them and stuff. Eventually what happens, you get really good at urges, then the urges can happen at any time and you have the skills to manage them. So focusing on one at a time is very helpful. So check your cues and triggers. Look for things like when you don't have a break at work, being home alone is a common trigger for people. When they go out with their friends, a common trigger for me is when I'm doing really boring work all day. When I have to spend the day doing things that I don't particularly love to do, I usually want to eat at night to just get away from things. Finishing a major task. That's another one for me. It's like if I accomplish something really huge, the reward center wants to go off in my brain. I'm still working on the version of me that rewards myself when I finish a task and I revel in it and, like, mentally give myself rewards. Usually what I do, I finish something major. I'm like, thank God that's done. What's next? And then I end up eating because I didn't reward myself. So I go and I eat. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to have some of this. I worked hard today. A lot of you, a cue or a trigger is weighing in each week. And then sometimes it's just trying to unwind in the evening. For teachers, that's often around 4 o'clock. For mommies of small kids that work till 5, a lot of times that's 8 o'clock. For a lot of us who are single or empty nesters, it's after dinner because we don't have a lot of things to do. We're just left with ourselves. So we have these windows, and during the windows, we'll talk later about processing them. But that window, you really want to start diving into during that time, what is it that I'm really needing? If I keep eating, I obviously, my brain and my body is signaling, I need something. And right now, the only tool I know to use to get that feeling, that emotion, whatever it is food. So I want to learn new tools so that I can let this one go. Notice how I didn't say you're broken, a shit show, terrible. Most of you need to accept the fact that for you have been raised, you have been taught that food is a way for you to emotionally cope with things. And that's okay. We don't have to feel bad that we didn't learn another way. We don't have to feel bad that that is what we internalized in order to change it. We just have to recognize that tool has served its purpose. Now that I know there's new ways, I want to learn the new tools. That's all that has to happen. So I want you using that new planning for your urges worksheet. It's super helpful. Yasmin and I, we designed it together to help all of you figure out how to plan those urges. So when you know your overeating window, and when you finish writing your doable 24-hour plan, now what I want you to do is I want you to write your plan for your self-talk on your 24-hour plan. This is really important. What a lot of you do is you hope you don't overeat tonight. You hope you don't fuck up. You sit there and think, it's going to be really hard, but I'm going to do it. We do a lot of command talking, but we don't do a lot of planning for the actual scenario and conversation that we truly need to be having. So we are going to create a self-talk plan now for our overeating window that we pick out. Remember, you're only going to pick one, and the worksheet walks you through that. And then we're going to do some visualization. And I'm not talking woo-ass visualization. I'm talking real, tactical, tangible, it doesn't take a lot of time visualization. So number one, you want to ask yourself, what are you normally thinking? So when you identify your overeating window, you want to ask, what am I normally thinking? That's what I do when I'm like thinking about, like, today is a day that I would be really tempted to want to go and have drinks tonight. I already woke up with that urge. I have a really busy day. Like after this call, I'm on calls until at least 3 o'clock with no breaks. So that's why I have a protein shake next to me, just so I at least have some nutrition going down. Very often my pattern is that at 3 o'clock, I unwind, and by 4, I just want to eat until about 6 o'clock. Like I'll start with some dinner. The next thing I know, I want to add something on because I missed my lunch and I didn't have enough breakfast. And then by 6, I've basically ate a full day's worth of food. Well, I don't like that pattern in me. I don't want to be that person. And so what I did this morning when I did my writing is I wrote, you are going to tell yourself you're hungry and you will be hungry. And when you first start eating, it'll be fine. But after you start eating, you will feel the waves of calm and relaxation coming over you. You will forget about thinking about everything else that's going on in your world, and you will just be thinking about food. And I want to make sure that I don't bring in all the drama and all the things about the world, but I also want to tell myself, you're enjoying your food, and when you're done, let's just sit and enjoy ourselves. So I plan, like, do I want to watch TV? What do I want to do? How do I want to talk to myself to transition into doing something else? Because if I don't, what ends up happening is I just think about, what else could I eat? So what I do is I tell myself, If I think, what else can I eat? When I hear that thought, I also want to think, I really don't need anything right now. So I'm going to set a timer for 30 minutes and relax. And at the end of 30 minutes, if I'm still hungry, I can reassess. And during that time, I write down, during your 30 minutes, like for me, it's usually watch TV and go get a big thing of water and drink water. Lay down while you do it. Like a lot of times I'll tell myself, take yourself upstairs. Don't relax downstairs, because if I go upstairs, guess what Corinne doesn't like doing? Marching up and down the stairs. So if I go upstairs, I've already set myself up to make it harder to respond to my urge to walk downstairs. Another thing I tell myself is that if I start thinking, well, tell Chris to just bring you something, then what I do is like, tell myself in that moment, you've already told him not to. Then in the morning, guess what I do? I text Chris and say, hey, I'm likely to want to overeat tonight. If I ask for peanut butter or nuts or whatever, I want you to tell me, no, you already told me this morning you made your decision. So if you want them, you have to go get them yourself. And we've made an agreement for a long time that if I say that, that's what happens. Now, I also write down if you get pissed when he says that, because I know me. I've watched me on and on and on. I literally write the script of how an evening's going to go. I write down, notice you might get mad if he does that. And remember that he's only doing what you told him to. And if he goes and gets it, you'll be mad at him tomorrow. So let's just not be mad that he's doing the things you say. So I write all this out, and this is beneficial because I'm giving myself all of that redirected self-talk of the shit I know I'm naturally going to think. And then a lot of times what you guys can do is during that break, when you're not going to eat, you can even do this in the mornings. I suggest you try to figure out in the mornings your overeating windows and you script it. But one of the things that I would make sure that you're doing, whether you eat or like, you can do this on your discovery worksheets, you can do this in journaling, you can do this in the morning, you can do this in the middle of an urge when you're not eating, but you need to start getting good at asking a good question of yourself. Like, what do I need right now other than food? If it's not food, what else do I need right now? For most of us, what we're doing is we're looking for comfort. We're looking for fun. We're looking to relax. And I always like to ask my question, what am I trying to get out of? So a lot of times for me, I'm trying to get out of feeling stressed and I'm trying to create relief and relaxation. So I like knowing that so that I can tell myself the stress is coming from my thoughts. It's not coming from my day. And then I can tell myself, if I want to be comforted, I can either tell myself a new story about the day, or I can tell myself in the moment, everything's going to be okay. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to not think about work right now. It's okay to not think about your kids right now. That's all normal. Because I want you to think about most of the time when we're eating, we are either escaping something or seeking something. So being able to have you like ask those really good questions is powerful. You might want to think about what thoughts am I having right now that are making me think that food is a solution? That's another powerful question you can ask. The other key when it comes to your self-talk plan is you want to be using the kind voice. So when you write out the things you're going to tell yourself, ask yourself, when I think that sentence, how do I feel? If you don't feel good, if it feels shitty, if it feels punitive, stringent, commanding, punitive, like if it feels any of those, just because it sounds better than just like, I just want it or whatever you have, doesn't make it useful. So if you watch me coach, you know, very often somebody will say like, well, I've been eating and I've been telling myself blah, 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 Corinne, as if, and wondering why they keep eating. I'm like, well, how does that, like when I say this sentence, how does that feel? And they're like, well, kind of like shit. I'm like, okay, well, no wonder you eat. Because if the best you're doing is yelling at yourself like a fucking angry parent, like, we can't do that. That's not how we convince ourselves to be patient. We're not offering ourselves what we truly need in the moment. So you want to make sure you're using that kind voice. Then the last part of this is, like, you've done the scripting, you've done all the things, is you want to visualize yourself now going through it. And when you visualize yourself, you want to practice these keys. Number one, your brain does not know the difference between what you think about and what actually happened. So visualization is key. If you think about it, most of us are visualizing all the time. And we keep, like, we live a nightmare scenario in our head of weighing in. And we live a nightmare scenario of what it's going to be like when we're around our favorite foods. And then we walk in, and the only thing that we've practiced ahead of time is anxiety, worry, self-doubt, and fear. So you want to visualize you running through this script. You want to visualize yourself having your automatic thoughts, redirecting to good self-talk, and then taking action because of it. Your brain doesn't know the difference between a dry run or a visualization or actual stuff. So your plan is the script to use in the moment. If you need to, get your 24-hour plan out where you wrote your script down and use it in live time. Use it in live time. And here's the other thing about visualization. It doesn't take long, 1 to 2 minutes. That's all I'm asking you for. Write your plan and then sit there and, like, all right, I just want to visualize myself doing this. And then don't just fucking do it one time thinking that's going to work. This is a process. At least give yourself 30 times of doing it before you decide what your opinion of it is. Just like, I don't know jack shit. I don't know if I'm going to like it. I don't know if I'm going to get used to it. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know if it's not going to work. I don't know anything until I've done it about 30 times. After 30 times, you then have done it enough to make an educated decision on if this is a tool that will work for you. The one thing I know about doing it, if you do it 30 times, it will not hurt you. It will not make you eat more. It will not do anything but open you up to the possibility of being something that might work. Now, you may bitch, you may groan, your brain may throw a fit because it's new, but all of that is sentences. Be more willing to try things that you doubt will work. Be more willing to try things that you're unsure of than you are making a decision that something won't work and being for sure a failure. The only way to fail is to not try to begin with. All right. So all day long, now you got to redirect your hard talk all day. So that means that you're going to look for all that stressful talk that we do during the day. Like, hope I stay on plan tonight. I have to eat this. I wish I could be eating that shit over there. You have to look at all of the things that you're thinking, like, how many times do you walk by a mirror and go, ugh? How many, like, I want you guys to turn the volume up. Remember Thoughts 2.0, we talked about, like, we're going to turn the volume up on our thinking. I want you to amplify the hard talk that you do through the day so that you know, oh, no wonder I go home jacked up. Because when I'm letting my brain just automatically run all day long, it doesn't have a lot of really awesome things to say. It just is like, I'm so busy. So tired. I don't have time to eat. Never say I don't have time to eat. I just wouldn't say I don't have time to eat. Because most of you feel terrible. You don't feel like you're just stating the news. You're like, I'm stating the news, plus it's awful. My thoughts about it, or it sucks. So rather than saying I don't have time to eat, say I'm really good at making sure that if I miss a meal, I can stay on track. That's an option. That's not hard talk. That's not stressful. So be mindful of all, like, I want you to turn up the volume of like, where am I wearing myself out emotionally all day long? How many times do I dread a customer call? How many times do I just let myself sit there and think about what somebody else might be thinking about my body, and rather than just dead stopping it, figure all that out so that when you're going into the evening, that you're not already depleted emotionally, and then you're trying to have an urge, and then you're trying to redirect all your self-talk, and you're trying to make a decision for your future self. Part of making sure that you can handle urges is lowering the temperature of the places in your life where you do a lot of bullshit thinking that feels terrible that you don't need. I'm not even talking about rewriting your past. I'm not talking about getting over hardcore beliefs and stuff. I'm talking about how many opportunities do I have in the day to shut down bullshit thinking? How many opportunities do I have in the day to recognize thoughts that I could say 100 different ways other than this? How many of those am I missing? I want to hear it, and then I want to practice changing it. So look for things like using the word busy. Like for a lot of you, you like saying I'm busy is a death knell for you. You will argue with me that it's true, but you'll tell me that when you think I'm busy, how bad it feels. If it feels bad, you cannot afford to hang on to your story. You can say, I have a plan for the day. You can say, I have things on my calendar that I'm going to show up for today. You can say, every single day that I've had a lot of things to do, I've made it to the other side. You can say 1,000 other things that leave you feeling relief, that leave you feel empowered, and that take the temperature down on being an overwhelmed, stressed out bitch who needs to eat ding-dongs before she goes to bed. Look for stress thoughts. If you're feeling stressed, every single time you want to blame someone, say like, oh, wait a minute. I keep thinking so-and-so is stressing me out. That's my thought. All of your feelings belong to you and no one else. And the moment you do that is the moment you start accepting, all I need to do is figure out, like, I have a thought, this sentence, that's why I feel stressful. That's why I'm feeling stressed. When you do that, you are on the road to reducing how many urges you're going to experience to eat due to stress, due to being busy, due to fear, due to anxiety, due to dread. So if I feel dread, if I feel self-doubt, if I feel anxiety, if I feel anything, always take ownership and say, I'm feeling anxiety because I keep thinking this. That in and of itself right there will give you an ounce of relief that gives you a little bit more ammunition to be able to go into an urge and have some emotional bandwidth to work with it. All right. So warning. If the way you tell your story about your life, your feelings, your food, your job, your children, your marriage, anything, your body, your ability to lose weight, if the story you're telling about, if you told someone and it left you feeling like shit, you need a new way of thinking. We don't need a donut for it. You don't need to eat over it. So I want you to think about the stories you tell in your life. How often are you on the phone with your mama or your girlfriend or somebody that you know, and at the end of the conversation, you feel worse than when it started, and all they did was listen? How many times have you sat down to your journal and you decided to write about the day and you feel worse than when you started? That's not journaling's fault. That's not something wrong with you. That's the story that you tell. Always remember, the story that I tell is what creates urges. So make sure you trace those. I want you to see this. Stressful thinking equals cortisol, plus adrenaline. We have to make sure that we're looking for our thinking that happens all day long so that we can lower the temperature of wherever we can, so that we're not jacking ourselves up, so we have emotional bandwidth left over for when we go into our urges. So I want you to remember these things. You have automatic thinking. You have habit thoughts that are never going to go away. They're never going away, guys. They're here to stay, and that's okay. Your goal is to get better at hearing them, identifying them, and redirecting your brain to where you want to go. That is what a modern woman does. That is what a grown-ass woman does. She doesn't need her painful thoughts to leave. She just needs to get better at being the last word. You can make sure that you're redirecting. You want to make sure that you tell yourself, I'm learning to redirect my mind. I'm going to miss some things, and that's okay. I will never hear all of them. But I don't want to turn my brain off because I've missed a few. I'm never going to beat myself up for how I think. I'm just going to redirect, redirect, and redirect. And that you can quit arguing with your old shitty voice. Remember piss and vinegar? Piss and vinegar has no place in your life. None. So we're not going to use it. So here's a few thoughts that I came up for you guys to think. I'll let everybody get ready for a screenshot. All right, I'm going to hold it up for 10 seconds. Screenshot it. You can use your phone. You can use your keys on your computer. If you don't know how, here's what I would do. Ask in the chat. How do you screenshot something? That would be super easy. Don't forget, I'm going to put all of this in Urges 2.0. Now is it, everybody's wondering, what is the NOW acronym? That is in Module 2 of No BS. It stands for, you're going to name the feeling, you're going to open yourself up to it, and you're going to witness. The whole process is in Module 2. Go listen to that lesson to explain all of it. And next week, I think, is when we're going to be talking about it, where I'm going to teach you how to use it with urges. So here's some new thoughts to think. I've always gotten through hard days. So when you're like, oh, my day's going to be so hard. Oh, my day's going to be so busy. I have always gotten through my busy days. Every single time. If you're listening to the words that coming out my mouth, guess what? You've always gotten through your hard days. You've always gotten through your busy days. You've gotten through every day you thought you couldn't. You've overcome everything you've told. Like, here's a belief. Everything in your past, at one time when you thought, there's no way I could do that. There's no way I can make it through this. There's no way I could feel that emotion. At some point you have, and you just keep telling yourself there's no way. You've already disproved your own bullshit thinking. You've made it through every hard day. You've made it through every busy day. You have felt every emotion you think you're too afraid to feel. I don't care if you started eating. At some point you felt it. And every single one of us, we're running from emotions, things, and we can't handle them. Guess what? At some point, you were probably in public and you felt it and you put it on pause because you couldn't go grab a donut in time. So stop telling yourself those stories. They're not true. They just make you feel like shit and helpless. And we're not helpless victims around here. New thought to think. I don't need food to relax. I need new thinking or I need a break. Like, if you need to relax, I don't need food to do that. You need to tell yourself, you know what I need? I either need some new thoughts or I need a break. That's what I really need. I don't need to feel guilty. Like, we have to talk about it, like how it actually makes sense. And then another one, I've done enough today, even if I think I haven't. I'm wrong about that. And I'm proud of myself for knowing that I've probably done enough for this day. Most of you have ridiculous standards for yourself. And you need to just tell yourself, when you start thinking, I haven't done enough, I didn't do it perfectly, and all this other stuff, you need to be like, bitch, your opinion of what, like, this is what I tell myself all the time, because I'm bad to say I'm lazy. Of all the people in the world, I will think like, oh gosh, like, you spent like an hour doing something for you, like that's lazy. I'm being lazy. I'm always telling myself I'm being lazy. I'm probably the most lazy, unlazy motherfucker that ever lived. Seriously. My coach one time told me, she said, Corinne, I never want to hear the word lazy coming out of your mouth again in reference to you. She was like, here's what I know about you after coaching you for 3 years. And I was your person that you went through your certification with. Lazy is not in your DNA. You are wrong about it. And your opinion no longer counts in that matter. So I want a lot of you, when it comes to, I didn't do enough, like when you know in your soul that you're just hard on yourself, when you know in your soul that you're a perfectionist, like this is really my garbage. And I know it's my garbage. When you want to think you haven't done enough, when you want to think it's not good enough, when you want to think those things, you need to remind yourself, I'm wrong. My opinion is very wrong. I am the last person that I should consult about if I'm good enough because I haven't built my self-love tank up yet. So I'm just not believing me anymore. My brain can tell me whatever it wants. I may even feel it, but I'm just not going to believe me anymore about this. All right. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to plan your self-talk for this week, and I want you to share it inside of our Facebook group. I want to know, like, what's happening? What are your ups? What are your downs? What's working? What's not? I want to know the self-talk and how you're going to plan for these urges. And I want you to get in there. I will be in our group a lot this week. I want to see a lot of urge talk happening there. And if you are not in the Facebook group, I want you to put it into Ask Coaches. I really want this month for us to defeat urges. I don't want us to annihilate them anymore. I don't want us to make them go away. I want us to be urge bosses. I want us to feel so confident that when urges come, we know what to do. We know how to be there for ourselves. We know how to talk to ourselves if we respond to it. If we eat, I want us to be a boss. If we don't, I want us to be able to stop midstream if we need to. And this month, I am dedicated to teaching you there are so many success points along the way to becoming an urge boss. And it does not require you being perfect. All right, everybody. That's it. There's no separate group for Urges 2.0. Everything's happening in the main group. You can talk about it also in your subgroups. Your mentors are there for that. But you can talk about it in the main group. Me and my team will be in there a lot this month looking for anything that's talking about urges. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.